Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Joining me today at the roundtable is Andrea Haydon, AndreaHaydon, and her website is www.studiohaydon.com. So that's studio, studiohaydon.com. And I strongly encourage you to go on her website and see everything she does because, wow, I was so impressed with the images that you sent me. I can't wait to share them with everybody. But I wanted to talk first with you today. First of all, welcome. I always forget to say welcome. So welcome to the roundtable.
Thanks for having me here.
Oh, no problem. I'm really excited to talk to you today because having looked at your work, I'm very excited to talk to you about what this whole podcast is really about. It's about, you know, different artists and their journeys and how they became the artists that they are. And so having seen some of your pieces, not in person because of COVID-19, but, you know, as images, I'm really excited to hear about your art and your art's journey. And my first question for our guests is always the same. It's like, when did you first know that art was your destiny?
So this is always a hard question. So I guess since I was very, very young, I started kind of doodling and drawing when I was 3 years old. My mom is actually an artist. She's extremely talented. And I was actually one of four kids that somehow got this artistic ability. So I've been kind of drawing and doodling my whole life. But next to wanting to always be an artist, I also had wanted to be a bus driver at some point. And being a violinist in the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. But those things didn't really work out. So I've just been really lucky that, I've been guided by my mother on, some fun artistic talents. So.
Yeah. And so, so having been artistic since you were a child, I can only imagine that, you were drawn to a lot of different types of art or creative endeavors. And, I know from, you're a lot younger than I am, but I know from when I was in school, grade school, junior high schools, there weren't often a lot of art classes and choices and everything. And the ones that were available when I was young were very rigidly kind of, programmed, I guess is the best way to put it. And I think that's changed over the years, and probably your generation, it was a much more creative and innovative classroom. But when did you know you wanted to do this, like for real, as a professional artist?
Sure. Well, actually, recently, I guess. Very recently. I was really big into arts in high school. I didn't really think of art being a profession or being doing that as a career.
Well, yeah, because we're starving artists, right? Nobody makes money,
Exactly. I just never thought of that. And so I went to Heron School of Art and Design.
Wow.
I really went for painting. That was something my mom really pushed me to do. She was like, go to Heron School of Art and Design. But she really pushed the like, don't do fine arts. she's a fine artist. She has her fine arts degree from Indiana University. And she was like, do design, make money. And I was like, whatever, mom, see you later. But after it was like almost the end of my freshman year at Heron, I switched my degree last minute to visual communication design.
Oh, cool.
So similar to graphic design in a way. And so I just kind of did that because I thought that's what I needed to do. And it's been extremely rewarding. But honestly, it wasn't really till recently. I was working at an architecture firm downtown Indianapolis for 6 years. And I was unfortunately let go due to COVID back in May.
Oh man.
And so that kind of got me back into like my fine arts roots. I feel like a lot of people during COVID and during the pandemic have really turned back or turned into them, themselves with their creativeness, whether it's cooking or baking or you know, arts and crafts, music, whatever that is. And I started just making stuff. And then I started having people wanting to buy some of these things. And I was like, man, you know, this is weird. And so it's been a very recent, very, very, very recent thing for me. I've always done art on the side, like
for friends and for yourself. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I've been in gallery shows. I just never really had the time to really focus on it until recently.
I love that. I love that you have such a rich background in creativity, especially having been able to go to school and find an academic discipline within that artsy, you know, school arts, mm-hmm. arts medium of schools. That's not the right word, but you know what I'm saying. Again, sorry, stroke survivor. Sometimes the words don't come right, you know. But that you were able to find something that supported you, that was still creative and artistic. And then when darn old COVID came and shot that out from under everybody, you've been able to find new outlets and continue to grow as an artist, because I really do believe that artistic people are the most likely people to always be learning, always be growing. And I don't know about you, but art is like therapy, you know, a lot of the time. And so especially, I would say, in a time like a global pandemic, not that I've ever lived through one before, this is my first, but I mean, I think about, you know, any kind of a challenging time in someone's life. I mean, you know, loss of parents, loss of jobs, loss of any, you know, any kind of loss, the highs and lows are what make us artists create different things. And so I always like to ask our guests to try and tell us a little bit about their art's journey in terms of things like highs and lows, obstacles and challenges, great achievements, or rewarding events that might have happened. So anything that you want to share on that kind of a question would be great, because I think it encourages other artists to hear how we all, you know, deal with challenges and achievements, you know, the good and the bad.
Sure. No, absolutely. So as I said, I worked at an architecture firm for 6 years. Prior to that, I actually taught at Heron School of Art and Design. I taught design for a year. It was great. I really missed doing that. The pay wasn't so awesome, but
poor that teachers, was really, yeah, teachers everywhere. Yeah.
That was super great. So I'm kind of going a little bit backwards, but after I graduated from Heron in 2011, I kind of worked for myself, kind of as like a freelance designer. I worked at a brewery. I worked at 5-Hour Energy. I worked at these odd jobs just to be able to do the design work that I wanted to do. So then I did that, worked at Heron, worked at this architecture firm downtown. And, you know, I think for me, like, it's always been a passion for me. Like, it makes me happy, like you said, like very therapeutic. Mm-hmm. Like to me as well, my violin, playing piano, painting. I love the feeling of getting lost, you know, kind of like you're totally, you know, you're in this different world, right? And so
hours later you think, wait, I'm hungry, you know?
Exactly. Like, oh, I haven't eaten.
Missed lunch and dinner, you know?
Exactly. And so I think some of those things, you know, like I worked, again, my career was in architecture for 6 years. You know, I thought I'd be doing that for the rest of my life. Sure. Like, that's what I thought I was going to be doing. I mean, I know I always had art, but I think like an obstacle for me was the fact of always feeling like society's telling you, you know, you need to have this 9-to-5 job. You need to be contributing to your 401k. You need to, you know, have health insurance. You need to have excellent credit, all of these things.
Right.
And I don't know. It's like, that's like when my world was kind of flipped upside down back in May, you know, I freaked out. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, I need to get a job ASAP. Nobody's hiring. What do I do? Freaking out. Like, I've never not had health insurance. I've never, you know, like all of these things that I'm like, I had to really stop and take a deep breath and go, Andrea, you're going to be fine. Chill out. And
don't downplay that, because that is scary.
Yeah.
And so many people have gone through that exact experience through this pandemic. And, you know, to be fair, a lot of people have gone through that experience before there was a pandemic, you know, for whatever reasons.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it is a very true statement to say that what we are raised in our society to believe is the most important stuff is often the stuff that can disappear overnight.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, jobs and security and financials,
like insurance and stuff like that. And so I don't downplay that as a frightening and just terrifying time for anybody. I've gone through some of that stuff myself in my life in different times, and finding the courage and the strength to reassess where you are and what your possibilities are. First of all, you got to get unparalyzed, you know, so that you can start to see what are my possibilities, what are my options, you know, and create your own new world. And that's no mean feat. So don't downplay it. You've done it, you're doing it, and you should feel really good and proud of yourself for that, because that's not an easy thing to do.
No, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's been absolutely terrifying. I'm still scared. But, you know, I've never felt so like, this is right, you know, or this is where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful. That means a lot, because if you didn't feel that way, it would just be a free fall of terrifyingness all the time. So having the confidence that you feel you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, I think is such a huge part of feeling good and confident as an artist of any kind. I think of all the artists I've talked to, that is a common statement that I've heard, is that at some point they knew this was right for them, even if it's hard, even if it has those challenges. Sometimes it opens up avenues of travel or you know, experiencing something that otherwise they would never have come into their lives, and so things like that. But just that knowing that you're in the right place doing what you're meant to do, it's really great, and I'm so happy to hear that you feel that way.
Stay tuned for the second half of our At the Roundtable interview with visual artist Andrea Hayden.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.